passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Hour number two has arrived. We appreciate you dropping by. If you missed the first hour, you missed Brian Kelly. Graham Mertz will join us in a couple of minutes. Let's continue with more calls. And Johnny B. Good is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my... hang on a minute. If you ever run your mouth and you have to eat crow like I'm having to do, I highly recommend pulling the feathers out of them. This is a mess. I've got enough here for Kiffin, too, but I doubt he's going to come by. But that's just a little word of advice. When you talk about saving, you have to eat a little crow now and then.
Well, I think the whole world was talking about Saban last week, but what some of us forgot, Johnny B., is who the coach was on the other side.
Good point.
I mean, there have been a lot of mismatches in the world of battles, starting with David and Goliath, but I think Saban versus Kiffin might be the biggest mismatch in big-time coaching I've ever seen.
Yeah, like a chihuahua trying to fight a St. Bernard.
Yeah, no, it's a – and it, for some reason, we all get snookered by Kiffin's trolling and think it's so cute until we realize that this week everything he did was wrong.
That's true.
But
well, thanks
for taking my call. The next time Kiffin sends out a tweet of his dog – all the lap dogs in the media will lap it all up again. Like, man, old Lane's funny.
That's guilty as charged.
He's you know, what can you say about old Lane?
All right. Have a good evening. Bye.
Don't worry about that crow, Johnny. Season's early. Crow's overrated.
It's all you can eat crow.
I've eaten plenty in my life. You learn to like it. Andy is in Arkansas. Andy, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. And as an Arkansas fan, we really never eat crow because we're just not expecting more than maybe a bluebird or something. I got a couple comments and then a question for you. First of all, I had to rearrange. I could have swore I heard an Alabama caller actually glamorizing Ole Miss and who they've beaten and the amount of points they've scored, just in order to pad what was really not that impressive for Alabama. They should be concerned. Moving forward, I'm an SEC fan. I want all the teams to win. But I would love to have asked Brian Kelly, and then I have a question for you after this. Are you a little concerned that you gave up 426 yards to a very anemic Arkansas, heavily penalized team, and could have lost that game? And then my question for you, Paul, what does 25 for 194 mean to you?
25 from 194?
As an Arkansas fan, yep. So that's 25 penalties in two games for 194 yards. Take those away. Do you think the Razorbacks would be 4-0?
The 70s, 25 or 6-4 by... It was Bobby Lamb on the vocals there, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. All right. I knew you'd find humor in that, man. You made my day. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Back to Kiffin for a second. And I know people think we're just popping off, but Dan Woken, who's a columnist for USA Today, did a deep dive on Kiffin today. I'm going to share with you a couple of things. He begins his article by saying, Lane Kiffin has been a college football coach for 134 games. When's the last one that left you saying, man, that's an incredible win? I don't know how he pulled that one off. Randy? Here's the answer, according to Dan Woken. At the end of the 2011 season, when Kiffin was coaching Southern Cal, he took a team in the middle of a postseason ban and won on the road at Oregon, which was ranked number 4 in the country. Putting that aside, writes Dan, Can you name Kiffin's next best win by ranking? I alluded to it a few minutes ago. It was at the end of the 20 season, COVID. Does that even... When Ole Miss beat a number 8 Indiana team in the Outback Bowl. Indiana, folks.
Outback.
Indiana. I don't remember that game, do you?
No.
The point is, one last line from the article, is that that's a pretty large sample size, suggesting that Kiffin, who wins 65% of his games, will beat most of the teams he's supposed to beat, but basically never delivers the kind of program-changing or even credibility-changing victory that most coaches need to get to even garner a fraction of the publicity that he gets. He didn't stop Ole Miss from giving him $10 million a year after his flirtations with Auburn, and I happen to think he's a very good football coach. But is he elite? Is he justified for all the attention that we collectively give him every time he faces Nick Saban? The answer is no. Equalizer is in North Carolina. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
I just wanted to call and say that I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, and might be premature, but I think I was completely wrong. I had mentioned the impact that the transfer portal and NLI was having in transforming teams to being winners. And so I did a little bit of research, and I found a couple of sites that ranked the transfer portal rankings, and they went through a very involved process of looking at how many stars the players they got and lost, and NIL value, and they gave each team a score. And I just want to point out, if I can real quick, if you'll bear with me, the top six teams in the AT in the AP poll. Georgia is ranked 62 in transfer portal out of 69. The second team, Michigan, is 23. The third team, Texas, is 36. The fourth team, Ohio State, is 37. And the sixth team is Penn State at 44. So these numbers are out of 69. And by the way, Alabama has the worst score, the lowest score of any team in the top 25, with a 66 out of 69. So I just wanted to say, after doing some more research, you know, obviously Saban knows what he's doing, and these other coaches do. And I think there is something to be said now for keeping a team together for 2 or 3 years instead of, I heard on ESPN this morning, teams bring in mercenaries. And it's their last year eligibility, and they really don't have that culture, that buy-in to the program. And so, I don't know, it's interesting. One last thing, if you look at the top 10 teams in the index, Colorado's number one. The other top 10 teams, Louisville, UCLA, Auburn, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Wisconsin, and Kentucky. Obviously, those teams made huge changes in their teams using the transfer portal, but it's still, I'm not convinced yet what the real impact is going to be on transforming teams. Any thoughts about that, Paul?
Equalizer, I mean, first of all, thanks for the numbers, and I don't, I'm not sure how to compute exactly what you said. I think the portal is critical if used wisely, not so much by pure quantity. I think the mention of Kirby Smart is indicative of that. We're up against the break. More to come, more including a conversation with Graham Mertz at the bottom of the hour. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here as we continue. Graham Mertz coming up in a few minutes. We've already talked to Brian Kelly, and let's talk to Daryl next in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are doing great.
Listen, before I talk about the barbershop, I got to tell you, I found something out about the LSU-Arkansas game. The last 4 years, the game's been decided by 3 points.
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. But I knew when Arkansas came to town, we were going to be in a dogfight. Them people come ready to play.
No one will agree with me that hasn't seen their program. But, I mean, they are – you are going to play down to the final couple of moments, the second week in a row. And one of these weeks, whether it's this week or some other week, they are going to break through and beat somebody. Good.
I know. Well, let's talk about the barbershop, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let us have it.
I called TR about 30 minutes ago. I said, TR, you got the show on? Oh, yeah. I said, well, good, leave it on. I said, you still not putting the 4 o'clock local news on, are you? He says, yeah. So he said, we got to keep up with what's going on in Baton Rouge. He says, but then I put it back. I said, man, quit putting the news on. Nobody wants to watch the news.
Allow me, somebody who has worked in local news, to give a commentary on the 4 o'clock local news. It doesn't matter what's in Baton Rouge or Shreveport or Lake Charles or New Orleans. It's the same. There's nothing. It's water main breaks. It's the weather every 7 minutes. It's traffic. It's local, mundane city council news or shootings or road closings. You're not going to learn anything. You're not going to get the type of knowledge that you can get right here every day from people like Daryl in Georgia or Daryl in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, please don't put me in that category with that lunatic. Hey, I got a solution.
And by the way, Daryl, we just had Brian Kelly on. What if the barbershop had news on the nines instead of Brian Kelly?
That's what I'm saying, Paul. But I got a solution.
Okay.
Here it is. I'm going to pick you up at the airport when you're flying to Baton Rouge.
Okay.
The barbershop is located in Mid-City, so it's close to any hotel you would be staying at. But we're going to go in the barbershop, and you're going to tell them about the 4 o'clock news, what you just told me.
Now,
you up to that?
Daryl, let's talk TVs for a second, okay? Is it just like what kind of television do they have in there?
They have two big old flat screens.
So flat screens, which you can go to Best Buy now and get for $200?
Yeah. I guess they're 60-inch, Paul, at least 60 okay. to 65-inch, two of them.
Well, I mean, TVs aren't TVs pretty cheap these days?
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't TR or JR or whatever this guy's name is, so if he has the local news on one channel, then why aren't we on the other one?
Because they simulcast. Whatever channel one is on, the other one's on.
Oh, it's like they have a cable box and they're doing the same thing. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay.
So you up to me picking you up at the airport?
Yeah.
We're going to go by there?
Yeah, we'll go by there. And I, what would, okay, give me 1 second here. I know I'm going to find out does he have to have he's going to need a different cable splitter, isn't he, to get something else on the other TV? A two box.
I guess. I ain't no TV man.
Two different boxes from the cable?
Sure. I guess. Call him up. Fuss at it.
I bet we
ain't doing nothing. Oh, let me tell you this.
GoFundMe page and help this guy out.
Hey, the other day when you called him, he was giving somebody a shave. Wouldn't you hate to be that poor man in the chair with a straight edge by your neck?
Yeah, that's one thing I will not be doing at the barbershop is letting this guy give me a straight shave with a straight edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that you said?
TR something.
Like a scene from The Godfather.
No joke. Hey, Paul, call him up and tell him about those splitters. You don't want to? You don't feel like it?
Scarface goes to Baton Rouge. Catherine is in Florida. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, Paul. Well, I'm going to be anxious to hear the quarterback from Florida because, unfortunately, we weren't able to watch the game thanks to ESPN again. I don't know how they pick and choose, but, it was ESPN Plus.
Oh, yeah,
so
that was, Everybody has a plus game, I understand, and that was Florida.
And we don't have the app, so yeah. I'm already given Spectrum enough. But so we don't know how in the world they scored, was it five field goals and a touchdown? I mean, I'm going to have to wait for the replay, I guess.
Yeah.
But
here's what the game was. It was the week after the biggest win, so you're never going to get a that's always a tough spot.
Really? Well, yeah, the Tennessee was great. I mean, and I was glad that we could watch it. But let me just say one other thing, and this is not football related. It's baseball. We just got through watching the New York Yankees play, and we have to give those fans the Fan of the Day award because it has been pouring down rain, and there must be maybe 2,000 or 3,000 fans that stuck it out. This is a makeup game from Saturday when it poured down, but I'm telling you, and thank God it was a pretty good game and the Yankees did win, but and they have had a tumultuous season this year. I mean, I'm happy that the season's about over, but anyway, thanks, Paul, and we're happy to be able to see you when we
can.
Catherine, have a nice night.
You bet. Well, by the way, at the barbershop, in case you're watching us now,
yeah.
TR, is that his name? Just a local update. It's 89 degrees in Baton Rouge at the moment, partly cloudy. Humidity is 69%. The low tonight will be 73. Tomorrow, the high of 90 with scattered storms. So your Baton Rouge weather update here that we are now going to institute into the Feinbaum Show. So the barbershop will leave us on as opposed to that all-important Baton Rouge forecast that you're getting on the local news affiliate. Elliot is in Ohio. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Lou Holtz is an expert in football because he's a coach. I get that. But he's not an expert at beating Ohio State. He lost back-to-back, 95-96. I was at the 95 game. It was one of the most embarrassing losses for Notre Dame and Notre Dame history. Ryan Day, on the other hand, went head-to-head with Georgia last year, only missing by 1 point. Ryan Day is a dog, and he's putting excitement in a game. He
knows what is needed in college football.
Nobody
much. So you're going to just attack Lou Holtz here because he lost to Notre Dame, to Ohio State?
I'm not attacking Lou Holtz. Ryan Day has a point.
Answer me this, Elliot. Forget Lou Holtz. Can you explain why Ryan Day came off like a something-infested lunatic the other night? I mean, I don't know what he was on other than adrenaline.
I can share
with us the Ryan Day logic while he's talking to a nice sideline reporter why he had to go DEFCON 1 about Lou Holtz.
Because read The Athletic, because he's rolling with the changes in college football today. He's not.
I don't really need to read anything. I'm asking an
SEC
expert.
You are
an expert, Ellie. You're always telling me how much you know. So answer my question, okay?
I did answer your question. He's rolling with the changes and what's needed in college football. He's not mumbling like Saban in post game. He's not an old school Auburn coach that they hire that can't win games. He's a young coach that knows what's needed in college football. He's rolling with the changes, unlike half the FCC, which is irrelevant right now.
What was that? What was that word again?
Irrelevant.
You know what? I think you're
irrelevant,
right.
Brother.
What schools in the SEC that are irrelevant? Why don't we take a break and talk to somebody who is relevant, though, and that is Graham Mertz, starting quarterback at Florida. He's next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome all of you back here as we roll on a Monday afternoon. By now, everyone is aware of some of the big matchups for this weekend, and one of the biggest early Saturday morning when Florida travels to Kentucky to take on the Wildcats. And joining us will be the quarterback on the Florida side, Graham Mertz. Nice enough to join us again. Graham, congratulations. Season has made a really nice turn since opening night. How's everything going?
Man, it's going great. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Really looking forward to this weekend. So it's, we're ready to rock.
Well, then there's always that question, Graham. How does a team come down from an epic win, which is the easiest and best way to describe what happened against Tennessee? You played Charlotte, a team that some would overlook, a tougher team than many thought, a 22-7 victory. Your takeaway from that as you turn toward the Bluegrass?
Yeah, I think that game in total, man, there's we learned what we need to do to win. I mean, I think you think back to the Utah game, it was a little self-inflicted wounds, execution that came off the tape, and then this one was just finishing drives. And you look at the red zone, no doubt we got to improve there. So we definitely learned a lot in this game, and we definitely took a lot of takeaways from that that can help us get to where we want to go.
Graham, we have on the screen you were 20 of 23 for an 87%. Now, I bring that up because we're going to show a play here in a minute that helped that percentage. And I bet by now you've seen this play. For those who have not seen it, it's been the play of every SportsCenter cast since Saturday night, the play against Ricky Pearsall. And I don't know if you're able to watch along with us, but here it is, and I'm going to let you describe it, whatever you see here.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that play. Did you catch that?
You play a lot more football than any of us, and how would you describe that catch other than unbelievable?
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, I think back to that play. I knew we had seams called. They were in a middle closed zone, cover three look. So I knew I had to move that safety a little bit. I knew the window was going to be tight. So, I mean, when Ricky's in there, he's a good feel for it. I mean, he's an older guy that's played a lot of ball. He knows how to read zones. And we rep that all the time and threw it a little high, kind of had to get it over that backer. But from my viewpoint, man, I put it up there and I just see one, I see a bunch of white jerseys and I see one hand go up and just snag it. And then, that was wild. The swamp was fired up after that one.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen lesser traffic jams on the LA freeway than what he was up against, but and he still got it. Graham, let's turn the page because we alluded to Kentucky this weekend, and they've got a pretty nice quarterback as well in Devin Leary, and they're off to a really good start, but this is the biggest test of the year. You've played in that part of the world, but what is your familiarity with the University of Kentucky and that program?
Yeah, definitely have a little bit of familiarity with that. Just being in the portal when I entered it, just that whole process. I mean, you meet new people from different schools. So I definitely met with their coaches and took a visit out there. So got an experience out there, but looking forward to getting back out there this weekend.
And you've been on the road, what, one time, I guess, to Utah. Is there a way to differentiate? I mean, a home game in the Swamp is standalone, but
yeah.
How is it different when you go, especially for an early kickoff, which fans have never been crazy about?
I mean, I've played in a lot of college football games, a lot of home away games, early morning games, night games. But I think the big thing you take away whenever you go on the road is it's a mentality. And everybody always says that road warriors mentality that's you got to bring that with you. And you got to train that during the week. So it's definitely a point of emphasis and something I'm going to be hitting the guys on all week.
And, Graham, let's talk about that because after that first Thursday night, many, many fans and certainly people that sit behind microphones like mine wrote the Gators off. And I don't know how much of that seeps into what you guys are doing. I know coaches try to keep you away from that, but I don't know how you can avoid it. How has this team been able to bounce back and be in a position where everything is in front of them now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think that's one thing where when you're on a team, it's just a different experience. I mean, you go back and everybody writes you off before the season and early in the season after the first game, and then we turn on the tape and we realize that there were just plays that we flat out didn't execute. And we know – I mean, we know what we got on this team, and we push each other every day to our standard and the standard that Coach Napier sets for us. So when you go and turn on the tape and you just realize that, okay, I need to execute better for the guys around me, and everybody kind of has that group buy-in, I mean, it's a long season, man. I've been in a lot of seasons, and you can't get – you got to learn through each game. And that's what I'm proud about these guys and their response after that. And look, this is the detail we need to play with, practice with, and go into every meeting with, and the guys really took that to heart. So I mean, it's still early in the season, we got a lot to learn, and like I just said, this game last weekend, you go through each game and there's there's a takeaway, a point of emphasis that you bring into the next week. So, you know, I've been proud about how the guys just, they've been about the work and they've been about the process. And I think that in this game, that's the right way to go about it. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. You just got to stay true to yourself, stay true to your teammates, and just push through the work.
This might be a better question 2 weeks from now after you get through the next two road venues. But it is your maiden voyage on the road. But I say that after somebody that's played in some of the toughest Big Ten stadiums in the country. How have you, or how are you acclimating yourself now to a different conference? This is now your second conference game. How different is it, as best you can tell?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar, actually. I mean, I've played in a lot of big venues. I mean, Camp Randall's is a great stadium to play in. I've gone to the Shoe on the road. I played in the Big House during COVID, but I mean, across the board, there's big stadiums everywhere. There's passionate fans everywhere. I mean, this game brings out a lot of passion amongst not only teams, but the whole community around them. So, I mean, as far as as environments to play in, I mean, it's fun playing on the road because you get to experience that from a different sense. And I mean, I think back to when we're in the Swamp. I mean, it's definitely for the home team, if the other team's not executing and doing what they're supposed to do as far as pre-snap communication and all of that, I mean, it can cause issues. So it's definitely really any away game. The point of emphasis is communication. And in a world where it gets real loud, how can you zone in and keep everything quiet? So in the long run, I mean, I think it's always fun to go on the road because it really tests your communication and the attention to detail during the week.
Graham, you're a football team. You don't really think about other sports being a source of unification, but I understand that there is a particular sport that a lot of you guys like to play. How has golf helped bring this team together?
I think in a weird way. I mean, we all do it because we love to go play golf. But the big thing that I saw was the more guys we could get involved doing it, it really led you to really know your teammate at a deeper level. I mean, it's different when it's 3rd and 7, you got to execute. And then when you're on the fairway and you're in a scramble with your buddy and you're like, all right, neither of us are really good at golf, but we got to figure out a way to make it work. So I think it tests you knowing your teammate at a different level. And just, it's a different way to exercise that like mental reset that happens during a game. And I mean, that's why I love it, because it's like playing quarterback, but it's on a whole different area, and it tests your mental fortitude on, okay, I hit a bad shot, which happens a lot because I don't have a lot of time to play golf, but what do you do next? And I think that's why I enjoy doing it so much off the field in the off season.
So, Graham, what would be tougher, a 3.5 downhill putt to win the match or a 3rd and long with everything on the line?
Definitely that putt, man. Definitely that putt. If I spent a little more time on the putting green, I mean, probably wouldn't say that answer, but I don't have a lot of time to be on the putting green and in the driving range anymore.
Well, you've earned it. All the best this weekend in Lexington. It is going to be a game that the whole country will be locked into. Thanks so much for making time, Graham. All the best.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun week. Always is.
Graham Mertz joining us from Gainesville as we roll on here on a Monday afternoon. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And back after the conversation with Mertz, let's check in with John, who is in Florida. Hello, John.
Paul, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And always excited to have college football back. And yeah, just as I always want to call and talk about my Tennessee Volunteers. And, you know, even going into this year, Paul, I always thought we were going to be more of a running team. Everybody trying to compare us last year to Hendon Hooker and everything like that. I would really like to see Joe Milton have more of a Tim Tebow mindset, just lower the shoulder and run people over. Kind of like Gus Malzahn in 2013 with, was it Nick Marshall?
Nick Marshall.
That was an excellent running back. So I would like to see us go down more that route. And that would open up more of the bigger shots downfield. We're taking too many big shots downfield when the receivers aren't open. You know, so hope we do good against South Carolina this week. It's going to be kind of battle of the bottom feeders. We'll see who comes out on top. And also, Paul, before I leave and let you go, I know you're a man of an exquisite palate and exquisite taste. So I wanted to let you know what I'm having for dinner tonight and see if that would pique your interest.
Let's hear it.
I'm having roasted red peppers stuffed with diced tomatoes, spinach, and feta cheese.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you're talking my language now. Let me know how
I
it goes.
I figured that would.
I may have to come by for dinner one of these days. Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate it. So I'm doing the SEC show, Nation show, Saturday morning. I see a guy that looks familiar. We go to a break, and I don't know how long these things last, but I scooted over, and the person I talked to was expired. Good afternoon, expired.
What's going on, Paul? How you doing?
What a pleasure to meet you and Mrs. Expired on Saturday.
Well, it was a super pleasure for us, and I just wanted to call and just thank you for coming over there and talking to us. And that's something that I will and we will cherish forever, because there's not a lot of people like you, Paul. And I know we give you a lot of hell on here sometimes, but to be not just an SEC figurehead, but a national figurehead such as you, and being so warming and welcoming, I think is the word. I can't thank you enough and really appreciate that. But, you know, they don't make a lot of people like you, Paul, and I just wanted to say that. As we go on, though, we watched the game, and I know you were there for a while, or maybe the whole game, I don't know. But Connor got hurt. Wigman got hurt. Great story. Max Johnson came in. You know, Max Johnson's Brad's son. Brad won a Super Bowl. For those that out there that don't know that, Max transferred from Memphis and got beat out by Connor Wigman, who's probably has more upside. Will probably he has all the attributes of being a first, second round quarterback in a couple years. Who knows if that's going to happen? But he has that type of talent. Max Johnson's no slouch, but what I wanted to say was they asked Max after the game, which Max came in and did a great job. Hey, you know, when Connor Wigman was named the starting quarterback, what were your thoughts? And did you think about going to the portal? And he said, no, I love this place. I love this university. I love this football team, something to that effect. And that was pretty awesome to see, not just because it was an Aggie, of course, but it was kind of refreshing that somebody's going to sit there and battle it out and be a part of that university. And I know he transferred once before from LSU, but it was refreshing, as crazy as the transfer portal has gotten, that young man who is a really good quarterback and can go start at, I would say, 60, 70% of the, you know, teams in America has that type of attitude. So I took that away as a great culture building, and I was impressed with A&M's defense, and I know Auburn's awful, totally awful. AJ, they're awful, AJ. Put your white sunglasses on, get some darker lenses, because you don't want to watch any more of that mess. But anyways, Paul, I wanted to call and make those comments. But again, my wife and me were ecstatic to see you and meet you, and hopefully we'll see you again in Tennessee.
Expired, thank you. It's just a real treat to visit both of you, and thank you for making me aware that you were there. Mike is up next in Texas. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. Happy Monday to you. I wanted to call, Paul. I've been trying to call you for a long time, ever since several years ago, back at the SEC days. I want you to know how much I want to applaud you and thank you so much for having these young student reporters on your show. You give them the opportunity to be on a national spotlight, and these young men and women work hard. I'm really impressed how knowledgeable they are about college football and the SEC, but the fact that you give them that airtime is just so admirable of you. You're kind of like the Johnny Carson of sports talk shows, And I just appreciate
Mike,
you very
you.
Much. Yeah, just wanted to let you know.
I grew up watching Johnny, and it's a group effort. I mean, our team here has really emphasized that, and as somebody who did the same thing, and you know that by now, it means so much to me because we talk to these men and women before the season, and then we get to see them again as we make our way through the SEC. And I think they're just so interesting and enlightening. They give us a perspective that the local beat guys and women don't, because they're on campus every day. They're in class with the quarterback and the wide receivers. So I'm glad. I appreciate that. I know it's a very important thing for all of us here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You bet. Take care of yourself. How about Wallace in Alabama? Hello, Wallace.
Hey, Paul. How are you, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay. I got a question to ask you. What do you think about Auburn's quarterback?
Not much.
I don't know what I say.
I really thought Thorne was going to be a lot more effective than he was Saturday. And, you know, the whole Ashford thing, I appreciate what he brings, but I have a pretty strong suspicion Freeze will be back in the portal again. I know he's recruiting some quarterbacks too. Scott is in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a 63-year-old, lifelong Arkansan, so you can probably imagine my frustration throughout the years with the Razorbacks, even though they're my team.
Sure.
I just wanted your thoughts on that last 2 minutes of the game from a coaching aspect for Arkansas. You know, LSU broke a big running play. They had the ball first and 10 on about the 6th and 7th yard line with about 2 minutes left, and Arkansas had no timeouts. I felt like Arkansas should have let them score where we could have got the ball back and had some time. But
yeah, Scott,
I
think that was the best chance to try to win. Otherwise, not win. I'm trying to remember what the score would have been. But, you have to get the ball back there. You know you're going to lose at the end. Thank you for sharing that. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.